All right, how many of you have your Bibles with you this morning? All right, that's good. Turn in them, if you will, to the book of James. I want to read a passage this morning about temptation, and we'll talk to you about temptation. The Lord has laid upon me this morning that we need to deal with the question, where does trouble come from? What is the source of trouble? Where does it come from? We begin reading here in James chapter 1. We're going to read four verses, beginning at 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Would you just pray with me for a moment? Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for the truths that are in it and also in other scriptures that speak to this same subject. I thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit among us this morning. I acknowledge, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God is the teacher, that he's the one that inspired these words, and he is also the one that is going to give us revelation out of the Scripture today. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help us to understand what you're trying to tell us today out of these words that were penned here so many years ago. Father, I thank you for the anointing which is upon your word, and also the anointing that you've caused to dwell in me to proclaim it. And I depend upon you, Lord, to cause this message to go forth with clarity and distinctness, that there'll be no doubt and no confusion and no misunderstanding about what the Spirit of God would say to his children today. And I thank you in advance, Lord, that by hearing the Word of God, that the faith of your children is going to be developed and built and grown. And I thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Word today in the hearts of those who belong to you. I thank you for the fact that you're going to strengthen those that are weak, that you're going to clarify confusion where it exists, that you're going to nurture and draw those that know not Jesus, as the word is proclaimed. And I thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're reading in this passage about temptation. And the question logically is, all right, what is temptation? From the time you are this big until where you are now, you've heard the word temptation. It's not a strange word to you. But I suspect that many of the people of God do not really know what the word in the Bible, temptation, really means. We've always thought, if you're like me, we've always thought that the word temptation meant it was a tempting or an enticement of someone else to get you to do wrong. That it was an enticing and alluring into sin. And we used to think about all of the wickedness, that kind of wickedness that the world identifies as wickedness, as temptation. But this word that James is using here, and every place that it's used in the New Testament, means much more than that which I've just described to you. When you read the word temptation, or tempt, or tempted in the Bible, it means a putting to the proof, or a putting to the test. It's a testing or a trying to see whether what it's made of. A temptation is a putting to the test, a putting to the proof by some kind of experience. When James says, let no man say when he is tempted, he's saying in essence, let no man say when he is put to the test. All right, now we need to find out in this passage of Scripture what kind of temptation he's really talking about. Because there are more than one type. And any time you read a passage of the Scripture from the Word of God, It's essential that you read it in the context in which it is written. Otherwise, you can go way off over here with some kind of a wild doctrine, or way off over here in some kind of a wild theology, or way off over here into some kind of a misconception of what God was saying. It's not what He said at all. You must understand the Word of God in the context in which it is written. All right, what kind of temptation, what kind of trying is He talking about here? Look at the third verse of this chapter 1. James said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What kind of a trial is this? What kind of a temptation is this? It's a trying of your faith. It's the trial of your believing. It's the testing of what you believe. Therefore, he's saying now in verse 13, let no man say when his faith is tried. Do you understand the kind of temptation we're talking about here? All right. What does it mean to have your faith tried? What does it mean to be tried in your faith? What does it mean to be tempted in that way? I think you could agree with me to say that your faith is not tried when everything's going smooth. As long as everything's going along real nice and smooth, there's no trying to that, is there? Yeah, everything's nice and normal. It's when the trouble comes, that's when your faith is tried. It's when you're standing your ground and trying to believe God and the pressure is put on. Now the question that I want us to answer today out of the Scripture is, what is the source of this trouble? What is the source of the trying? What is the source of these trials that come against everybody, including those who are Christians? How many in this room have never been tried? How many have never had trouble in their life? How many of you, since the day you were born again and you became a new creature in Christ Jesus, that all your trouble stopped? Anybody? Well, this is something we ought to know about then, isn't it? In this verse that we just read, I want you to see this. Look at your Bible carefully now. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Let no man say when trouble comes, that trouble has come from God. I believe that God has come under a bad rap. I believe with all my heart that God has been so maligned and so accused wrongly of all the trouble in this world. James said, let no man say when trouble comes, God is the one that's troubling me. Let no man ever say that God is the source of my trials. Let no man ever say that God is the one that has brought this trying upon me. Let no man ever say that God is the source of that which troubles me today. Let no man say that God is responsible for that. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil. He can't be tempted with trouble. He can't be tried with tribulation and trial. Neither tempteth or trieth he any man. Now look at your Bibles and read this, and just follow along as I read this again. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. Is that what he's saying? Let no man say when trouble comes that it's coming from God, because God cannot be tempted with trials and trouble, neither tempteth he or trieth he any man with that same thing. He does not need the works of the devil to test his children. God does not work upon you that way. It's not coming from God Almighty. And I don't care whether you're saved and born again here this morning or whether you're dead lost. It doesn't make any difference. The source of your trouble is not God. He is not the one that brings the agony into your life. He is not the one that sends the roadblocks across your life. He is not the one that causes rebellion in your children. He's not the one that causes difficulty in your marriage with your wife or with your husband. He's not the one that causes your car to blow up and you have a $400 bill to get your car fixed. He's not the one that causes your child to get his foot caught in the lawnmower. He's not the one that brings lightning and strikes your house and burns it up. He's not the one that causes your boss to get angry at you one day and cause you maybe even to lose your job. That is not the work of Almighty God. It is not, it is not, it is not. He is not that kind of a God. I tell you, it does not surprise me a bit why so many people do not want to have anything to do with God. If I thought God was my enemy, if I thought God was the one that was making it difficult for me to pay my bills, if I thought it was God that was causing fear to arise in my heart, if I thought it was God that was causing me to have difficulty with my wife, if I thought it was God that was causing me to have difficulty at work, if I thought it was God that was causing my washing machine to go on the fritz, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with Him either. That's a pretty lousy kind of a heavenly Father. It's a pretty lousy kind of a Savior. To save you from eternal death, to save you from your sin, to set you on the road to heaven, and then while you're here, slap you with all kinds of trouble and trial. Can you imagine that? That's a God that's on the one hand is saying, come on in, children. Come on in, children. I love you. Just come on in. I want you to come on into my kingdom. And as soon as you step inside, whoo, like that, He cut you one. Now, is that God? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But do you know how many people in God's kingdom believe that? Do you know how many men and women of God preach that? Do you know how many say that, well, you've got to be a Christian. It's hard. It's tough to be a Christian. You got to look out for God because He's there to get you and lay something on you every time you turn around. And why is He doing that? They even have a reason. He's doing that in order to test your faith. He's doing that to try you, to see what you're made out of. I'm telling you that is a lie. Amen. That is a dead lie. And if you believe that, you're believing a lie. It's a lie straight out of hell. And it's the devil's formula to keep children out of the kingdom of God. Nobody wants a heavenly Father that doesn't love them. Nobody wants a heavenly Father that is constantly heaping trials and troubles upon His children. Now, does God ever try His children? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And if you read the Scripture carefully, you will see that God tries the hearts of His children. God tests the heart of His child to determine His love. God will try your works in the final day with fire and burn away those works that you have done, that have been done with the wrong motives. God does try your works. God will also try your obedience. How many of you have ever had God ask you to do something for Him? Just raise your hand. Did you have a choice of whether to do it or not? Is that a trying of your obedience? It surely is. Suppose you say to your child, take the garbage out. He's got a choice to make, doesn't he? He can say, yes, I'll take it out, or no, I won't take it out. His obedience has been tested. Is that not right? God will try your heart. He will try your works. He will try your obedience. But He will not try your faith. God is not in the business of building up your faith by knocking you down. That's not His work. And James clearly says, let no man say when my faith is tried, when I have troubles in my life, let no man say that that comes from God, for God cannot be tried with evil or wicked works, and neither trieth He any man with trouble. It's not in His makeup. He could not do it. If He did, He wouldn't be God. It's not in His makeup. Well, who does? If God's not doing it, who is? Where is it coming from? Look over in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. And if you don't know where this verse is, I want you to get a hold of it this morning and underline it and flag it somehow. This is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. John chapter 10, verse 10. It will help you to understand what happens to you in your life. We are living in the physical, but we are dealing with things which are spiritual. We're living in the physical, we see with our physical eyes, but we're dealing with things that are happening in the spiritual. And in order to understand them, you must know God's Word, because it's through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what is happening. You will not understand what you're going through. You'll not understand what's happening in your life unless you begin to understand some of the things that we're talking about this morning. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That they might have it more abundantly. It's the thief that steals. It's the thief that kills. It's the thief that destroys. It's Jesus Christ that gives life. It's Jesus Christ that gives abundance. It's Jesus Christ that prospers. It's Jesus Christ that heals. It's Jesus Christ that delivers. It's Jesus Christ that breaks the bondage. It's the devil that ties people up. It's the devil that brings them into bondage. It's the devil that causes sickness. It's the devil that causes disruption and discouragement and disappointment and separation and rebellion and confusion and all the rest of that. That is not the work of God, and it's right here in this verse. It's the thief that does those things. Jesus Christ is the life giver. He is the restorer. He's a good God. If you read 1 John 3:8, it says, "For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus came to destroy the devil's works. He came to render Satan powerless and to destroy the works that he was doing. In Acts 10:38 it says, "For God was with him," that is Jesus, "and he went about doing good. He was anointed with the power from on high in the Holy Ghost, healing all that were sick and all that were oppressed of the devil." Now, wouldn't it be a strange thing for God to put sickness upon you and then send Jesus to heal you? Now, isn't that about as dumb as a thing could be? Wouldn't it be stupid to believe that God would cause a child to rebel against his parents and then send Jesus to heal that rebellion? Wouldn't that be stupid? But do you know how many of God's people believe just that? Believe just that. It's no wonder they're confused. It's no wonder they don't understand what's happening to them. It's no wonder that they're unable to release their love for Almighty God. Satan is the source of your troubles. In the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, in the third verse, when Jesus was in the wilderness, Matthew records, "And then the tempter came unto him." Isn't it curious that Satan's name should be called the tempter? Who do you think does the tempting? Did you ever hear God called the tempter? Huh? He's not. It's Satan. Satan is the one that's called the tempter. He's the one that brings the temptation. All right. Let's go back here to where we were in James. Now, I want you to see, we just want to reinforce what I've just said, and then I want to show you two other things. James 1:16. James said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not make the mistake of believing that God is the source of your trouble. Do not make that mistake," he said. "Do not err. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow due to turning." God is a good God. He brings good gifts. He's the one that showers every good gift and every perfect gift upon you. Do not make the mistake of feeling like God has laid something upon you in order to make you stronger. Do not ever make the mistake that God, of thinking that God is trying you in order to develop your strength or develop your faith. That's not the way God works. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the way faith comes. Jude said in verse 20, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. God's way to strengthen you is by hearing the Scripture and praying in the Spirit. That's God's formula, not trying you and bringing trouble against you. When trial comes against you, it is not for the purpose of strengthening you. Satan is not interested in you becoming stronger. When trial and trouble comes into your life, it is for the purpose of destroying you. And don't you ever forget it. It is not a blessing. It is a destruction that has come into your life. Now it is true that James said in the second verse, count it all joy, brethren, when trials overtake you. He did not say pray and ask God to send trials upon you. He said when you're in it, rejoice, because you know that as you endure it and come out of it, you will be stronger. But there's a better way to have your faith strengthened. There's an easier way to have your faith and your patience strengthened than going through trial. That's not God's way. God does use it, but he does not bring it upon you to strengthen you. I want you to get that clear in your heart today. It is not God's way to strengthen you by trial. Turn with me, if you will, over into Matthew, the 26th chapter. I've just said to you that God's way is not to put trial upon you to strengthen you. He strengthens you another way. You might logically ask the question, is there any way that I can avoid trouble in my life? Can I eliminate trouble in my life? Can I eliminate temptation and trials in my life? I don't know that you can. If you want to know the honest truth, Jesus couldn't, because he was tried. He was tried in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tried all through his life. Over in Hebrews, we're told that he learned obedience because of his suffering. I don't know that you can ever, that you can live a life free from temptation and free from trial. But I do believe with all of my heart that you can minimize it. I believe with all of my heart that you can bring it to a minimum, and this is why I would tell that to you. Matthew 26, verse 41, the instructions from Jesus. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. What do you suppose that means? He said, if you are sober and if you're vigilant, if you will watch and if you will pray, you will not enter into tribulation or temptation or trial. You can minimize the trying of your faith by prayer. You can cut down on the trouble that you have by praying. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, Vic, now that's just too simple. I just really can't see that. That's just too simple. Well, there isn't anything about God's plan that's complicated. God's plan is simple. Amen. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now, what do you think he was saying? Watch and pray. Spend your time in praying, especially praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth us in our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit will help you to pray about the trouble that Satan is about to put on you, and God will deliver you out of it before Satan can put it on you. God's plan is to protect his people from trouble, and when they get in, to deliver them out. That's his plan. His plan is not to put them in and not to keep them in. You show me one place in the Holy Bible where Jesus said, go and be sick. One place. He didn't say that, did he? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give sight to those that are blind, to set at liberty those that are captive. That's God's plan. God's plan is to protect you from trials and to deliver you when you're in them. Now the verse that's printed in your bulletin today out of the 34th Psalm says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Yes, you will have affliction in your life. Yes, you will have trials in your life. God wants you to know this morning these two things. The source of your problem is not God. Because God gives good gifts, only good. He does not give wicked gifts. He does not bring the trouble against you. It is Satan. He wants you to recognize your enemy. That it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible for you to be delivered out of your dilemma if you have the least. This is why I keep coming back to this. You cannot be delivered out of your dilemma if you have the least little bit of confusion in your mind about maybe God wants me in this. Just maybe there's just a little something there that God wants me to have this trouble. That's the devil speaking to you pure and simple, and if you yield to that and accept that thing, you'll stay in it and you'll not be delivered. And people can pray for you, lay their hands upon you until the cows go home. And you'll still be in your trouble. You must settle it once and for all in your heart that God is not the author of that. That it's coming from Satan. And until you settle that one thing, some of you think, well, gee, Vic, we know this. We know this. We've known it for a long time. Bless the Lord if you know this. Praise God if you know this. But there are some here this morning that don't know it. Otherwise, God would not have this message coming forth today. God is not the author of your trouble. He is not the author of your temptation. He is the one that sets you free. He's the one that provides your healing. He's the one that restores what the devil has destroyed. He's the life giver. The devil is the killer. And the other thing he wants you to know is that you can minimize the amount of trouble and the amount of trials that are in your life. And the way you can do that, the only scriptural way I know, is the verse that we've just read out of Matthew 26. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. And especially pray in the Holy Ghost. Especially pray in the Spirit. That's what Romans 8, 26 and 27 is talking about. Pray in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Why? Because you don't have any idea what trial devil's got laying for you down the road. You don't know what he's plotting for you, but the Spirit of Almighty God knows, because there isn't anything that old devil can lay for you that God doesn't already know about long time ago. And if you will allow the Holy Spirit to give you utterance to pray, you can pray that thing through so that instead of taking this road, you'll take that road, and the devil will be down there cooling his heels with his roadblock. And you're going to be walking the high road rejoicing and praising God. That's what God has in store for his children. It's not his purpose to have one obstacle after another, one trial after another. That's not his plan. We're to walk on the high road. That's what God wants for his children. All right, one final thing, and then we're going to close. The Lord wants you to know this also, and this probably above all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when the trouble does come, and it may, and the less you pray, the more you can expect. When it does come, as it has come in the past, and I know that every one of you who have attempted to live earnest Christian lives will identify with this. Now, if you've never tried to serve God, and if you've never really been serious about serving God, then you'll not understand what I'm saying. But if you're earnest in your heart to serve the Lord, if you're earnest to walk in the way of holiness before Him, you'll understand what I'm about to say. That is, when the trouble comes upon you, it comes with such force that when you look at the problem, you just know that there's no way out. When you look at the sickness in your body, you know that there's no way to be free from it. When you look at the damage in the relationship in a family, you know that there's no way to put that back together again. When you look at your rebellious child, you know that there's just no way to ever have him restored to the way he ought to be. Just, you just know that. Well, if you believe that, you believe the lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And if you don't have this verse marked in your Bible, you mark it today. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God's holy law says to Satan that he is unable, he is not authorized to use anything against you that is not common to man. He cannot bring some supernatural overpowering trial into your life. He cannot do it. God's world runs by his law. Satan operates by this book the same way you do and the same way God does. The universe is functioning on the spiritual law that God's laid down in the Word. And Satan is not permitted under any circumstances to bring any trying against you that is too great for you to stand. And when the night is darkest, and you say, well, I can't help myself, you are lying, lying, lying. The Bible says you can. The Word of God says that it is not too powerful for you. You can help yourself. You can stand. It doesn't matter how powerful that obstacle is. It doesn't matter how strong that trial is or that temptation is. You can resist it. God says so. And if you say you cannot, then I want you to know this morning, and you understand the way I say this to you now. I don't want there to be any confusion in your heart today that if you say you can't stand it, you're calling God a liar. Now you have the privilege. I mean, you can do it if you want. I mean, you call God a liar if you want to. But God wants you to know, and I want you to know this morning, what you're doing. He says, it's not too strong for you. He says, I've provided a way to escape it. And if you stay in it, you're there by your own choice. And let there be no confusion about that. Let there be no confusion about that. That's what God's Word says. I've provided the escape. It's not too strong for you. I give you good news. And I'll deliver you out. Put your trust in me. Let us pray.